الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. Respected Ulama-i Kiram, students, guests. The student has recited a hadith from the subheading known as Kitabatul Hadith, writing down recording of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now many of you will be wondering why we need to discuss such a topic. Students who are graduating will have discussed some important aspects of Kitabatul Hadith. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh and other scholars have established this subheading in their respective hadith works. The main reason why I thought that this would be an important topic is that when you will go out in this world, all sorts of people will present their views regarding the important sources of Islam. And as you know, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the important sources of Islam. Without hadith, Islam is incomplete. All the material, the important scriptures, the texts, the documentation that we have at our disposal relies heavily on the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So lots of different people will have different views, and many critics as well will say that there has come a period of time in the history of Islam when hadith was not recorded like it should have been recorded. We've got to be impartial, and we've got to remember that it was not possible to write each and every single thing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stated. At the same time, to suggest that nothing whatsoever was recorded would be absurd as well. In fact, if you compare the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim ajma'in to the disciples and the students of other apostles and other rulers, you will find that their efforts and what they recorded and what they memorized and that what they put forward to the subsequent generations in relation to what their apostle said, it is unparalleled. You cannot compare what the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in did to what people before them had done for their respective leaders and respective apostles. In fact, many of the material that was prevalent or that was established and that was written during the earlier times had been lost. So many critics will come up and say to you that where is the evidence regarding the recording and the writing down of hadith? Now we've got to go back into history and to see why there is this confusion about the recording of hadith. Now when I'm talking about the recording of hadith, alhamdulillah, we have the well-known hadith compilations. The Sunan of Abu Dawud is just one example. There are other works which have been printed and published. The Muwatta of Imam Malik is one of the well-known works of hadith, one of the oldest known works of hadith as well. There are others as well. But the period prior to this compilation, maybe 100 years, even more, people and the critics could claim that there was nothing available in the Muslim community. There was a vacuum. So to this, alhamdulillah, our scholars have mentioned lots of evidences detailing the fact that the writing down of hadith was prevalent since the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now one of the main reasons for this confusion is the fact that approximately 100 years after the demise of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, 100 years after migration, Umar bin Abdul Aziz is attributed to have gathered the hadith together. And in fact, the names of Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, Abu Bakr bin Hazm are also mentioned in this respect. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, regarding him we find in the early works, أول من دون هذا العلم ابن شهاب الزهري. The likes of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayh and also Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayh are of the opinion that the first person to do the tadween, the collection, note the word collection and tadween and not recording, is Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh is of the opinion that it was Ibn Hazm rahmatullah alayh. So this is where the confusion lies. Many critics and those who have not understood this whole issue properly have assumed that the first people to write down the hadith were either Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri and others that I've just mentioned. While in actual fact, these were the people that codified the hadith. These were the people that gathered all these segments of hadith and the collections that were with the respective scholars and the respective muhaddithin of that time. This is where the misunderstanding has taken place. And in fact, if these people would have looked properly at the sources of hadith, they would have found enough examples and enough evidence that the recording of hadith and the writing down of hadith began to take place right from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is one of the reasons for the confusion. The other reason for the confusion is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which has been narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and is to be found in the Sahih of Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade the Muslims and the Sahaba rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in from writing down hadith. La taktubu anni, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam says, and after that he says, whoever has written from me, then they should erase whatever they have written. Now Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and others have stated that this is not a marfu' hadith, a hadith which goes directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, stating that this is the view of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself. Other scholars have said that the prohibition of writing in this particular hadith refers to the beginning period of Islam. Later on, we find examples of writings of Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhi Majmain, and also the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam permitting the Sahaba to write the hadith. So they have commented that there was a reason. It was in the beginning of Islam. Later on, this prohibition and interdiction was lifted. Other scholars are of the opinion that the prohibition of writing down hadith was in one particular place where the Quran, in the same place where the Quran Kareem was also written. And this was so that people would not get mixed up between the text of the Holy Quran and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others are of the opinion that the prohibition was because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially wanted people to become familiar with the holy text of the Quran Kareem. Once the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in could differentiate between the Quran and the Ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this prohibition was lifted. So these are some of the reasons why we find this Hadith, and subsequently many of the scholars have stated that this prohibition was only for a limited period of time and only for the reasons that I've put forward to you a few moments ago. So, we have negated and refuted the fact that no recordings of the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam existed in his time. And we have also discussed the reasons behind it. At this stage, we also need to understand that although we have this particular hadith which prohibits the writing down of hadith, we also learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked many companions to write a hadith down as well. An Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about sometimes forgetting a hadith that he had heard from him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Ista'in bi yaminik wa awma'a bi yadihi liqat." He said, "Take assistance through your right hand," meaning write it down. And then he referred to some writing that was in front of him, so that people could understand that he was referring to writing what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said or stated. Rafi bin Khadij radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said that, "We hear many things from you. Should we write these things down?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Uktubu wa la haraj." Write it down, and there is nothing wrong in that. There is another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which he mentions, "Qayyidu al-ilma bil-kitab." In other words, write down knowledge. Write down knowledge. Capture knowledge through recording it, by means of recording, by means of writing. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is known to be the greatest hadith scholar ever to have lived. We all know that. He has transmitted more than 5,000 hadith. And you've got to remember, in those days, there weren't many transmissions. The proliferation of ahadith according to the different isnads and the different chains of transmissions, they increased as time passed by. He mentions that there was no one more well-versed, and there was nobody who had transmitted more hadith than I had done, except for Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكْتُبْ وَلَا أَكْتُبْ. The reason behind the fact that Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhu narrated more hadith than I had was the fact that he used to write and I did not use to write. But that was in the beginning. Later on, there is also evidence of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu writing down the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he had his own collection. Abdullah bin Amr bin al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he also had a collection which is well known and is to be found in the major compilations of hadith. As I mentioned earlier, that what the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een had recorded is far voluminous than what men have recorded regarding their apostles or founders of religion during their lifetime. And there are other examples in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where ahadith were written. In fact, the first written constitution of Islam, it is known to be the first document, legal document, in the history of the world. And what did this detail? This detailed the rights and duties of both the rule and the ruler. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah, the first written constitution of Islam was established, and it was written. A survey and a census was carried out by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn in a hadith which has been recorded by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Write down for me the names of those who have subscribed to Islam," in other words, those who have embraced Islam. The Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in mentioned that accordingly we wrote down for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the names of 1,500 people who had embraced Islam. Again, another example of writing during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were also other official documents during the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's migration. Suraka was granted a deed of safe conduct. In fact, scholars have established approximately 300 letters emanating and originating from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the time of Hudaybiyah, the quarrel over the wording of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah is well documented. We learn that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally ordered some written words to be erased, and this has been documented in the Sirat of Ibn Hisham and the Sahih of Bukhari. The letters to the rulers inviting them to embrace Islam is also documented in the works of hadith and the works of seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The letter to the Byzantine emperor, the letter to the Persian Khosrows, the Abyssinian Negus, and other letters that were sent to all the rulers of the world. And this is another example of writing during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The correspondences with the Jews, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had learned the script of the Jews and used to read to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the letters that he had addressed to the Jews. In fact, instruction to governors, tax collectors, etc. This is also documented in written format. The rules of taxes, zakah, etc. We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the end of his life, dictated the rules of zakah, the Jews to government in respect of tillage, flocks of herds, mines, etc. Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a prominent companion of the Prophet ﷺ, we learn that he had translated the Suratul Fatiha in Farsi and sent it to some Iranians, and this was with the permission of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So these are many examples. It doesn't stop there. I'm just providing you with a glimpse of what is prevalent, what we learn about the writings during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During the conquest of Mecca, There was a well-known sermon delivered by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the rights and duties of humanity and other important issues were discussed. Abu Shah, a Yemenite, at that particular time, asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he could have that written down for him. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that write it down for Abu Shah. Again, a clear indication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in to write down aspects of his life, what he had said, what he had done, incidences that took place during his lifetime. It started to take shape right from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nobody can claim and state that it was only after 100 years that written material regarding the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to appear. At the same time, you've got to remember that these Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim ajma'in had memorized lots of the sayings and the deeds of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in this day and age, it's all about documentation. For us as Muslims, it is sufficient to state that even what the Sahaba ridwanullahi alaihim ajma'in had committed to memory and passed on to the subsequent generations, that is sufficient for us in the fact that we totally believe in them. We totally understand that they had very strong memories. But no, today it's all about documentation. In fact, in some circles, if a person talks from memory, it is not regarded as authentic. In academic circles, people have to deliver lectures with paper in front of them. Within our circles, a lot of the time, memory is something that is really considered to be a good thing. In fact, many people would not write down the hadith simply because of the fact that they did not want to depend on writing down. They wanted to use their memory. And not utilizing the memory to its maximum potential, people thought that it would become rusty and no longer able to function like it should function. So, respected students and distinguished ulama and guests, over the past few moments we have had the opportunity to discuss how systematically, right from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his sayings, his deeds, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were recorded. And we, because we have the opportunity to study the hadith in such depth and with such rigor, we have to consider ourselves indebted to these luminaries, to these scholars who spent so much time in making sure that all this knowledge is recorded and put forward to the subsequent generations. We should be indebted to them and thank them and constantly think about them and pray for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to follow in the footsteps of these pious predecessors and give us all the love of hadith like these pious muhaddithin had. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.